Hello, and welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners presented by the U.S. Sentencing Commission. In this episode, my colleagues Lori Baker and Peter Madsen discuss a common helpline issue, that of cross-references. Lori and Pete will walk you through what even are cross-references, how to properly apply them, dealing with multi-guideline cross-references, various tips and tricks for handling cross-references, and much more. Without further ado, here's Lori and Peter.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, good afternoon, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
So today we are going to talk about cross-references. I think it's probably best if we start by just talking about what a cross-reference is in guideline application.
That might be a great idea. And I think generally speaking, a cross-reference is just any time the guidelines instruct you to apply another offense guideline, period.
Well, that's a pretty simple explanation. So what's that going to look like in reality? So we go to Appendix A, we find out what guideline we're going to go to, we start looking through that guideline, there's a cross-reference at the bottom. What's that going to mean in practical terms?
I'm glad you asked. So we actually have an entire guideline, 1B1.5A, that kind of walks you through the entire process of applying a cross-reference. But at the end of the day, it really is, like I said earlier, it's an instruction to apply another offense guideline, and it refers to the entire offense guideline that you're referencing to. So that's the base offense level, the specific offense characteristics, the cross-references, and even the special instructions in some cases.
You know, I often say when I'm talking to people that it's important when you go to a guideline to kind of just look through the whole thing, the base offense level, the specific offense characteristics, see if there's a cross-reference at the bottom, because you might spend a whole lot of time working on that guideline only to get to the bottom and say, oh, wait, there's a cross-reference. I'm not even staying here. And then when you cross-reference, you're literally leaving that guideline and starting completely over somewhere else. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, too. I think we can't emphasize that enough. Read the entire guideline first. And at the end of the day, you might actually save yourself a little bit of work if you realize that's a cross-reference that applies, then you don't even have to worry about the guideline that you were initially referenced to.
So we get a lot of questions on the helpline about cross-references, and I think that there are some major categories that those questions fall into. Where do you want to start? What about sometimes we have guidelines that are going to cross-reference to more than one guideline? What are we going to do in that situation?
I think that's probably one of the more common questions we get. And just to, by way of reference, I guess, so say you're in the 2K2.1 guideline, the firearm, felon in possession firearm guideline. There's a cross-reference that says, you know, if the defendant used or possessed any firearm or ammunition cited in the offense of conviction in connection with another felony offense. Sometimes there could be multiple felony offenses. Maybe he used the gun in a robbery. Maybe the gun was also used to assault someone. So I think we reference back to 1B1.5, and we basically find there that when there's more than one, I guess, serious offense or more than one such offense, you're going to look at the most serious. So you're going to end up doing a guideline calculation both in the robbery and assault to see whether or not which one is higher, I guess you could say.
So you can't cross-reference to them both, right? You can't say, well, hey, my person did two things. I'm going to calculate two guidelines. That's not an option.
That is not an option. I'm glad you clarified that too.
But we need to do the calculation on both to see which one is higher, because that instruction in 1B1.5 says use the higher calculation.
Use the higher. 1B1.5 application note 3 specifies that information.
So what if I've cross-referenced over and I get to that guideline and there's another cross-reference at the bottom that applies to my situation? What do I do then? Do I just keep on moving?
Yes, I think sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around that. I think we see that a lot of times in some of the 2A guidelines where you could be in 2A3.4. Next thing you know, you're in 2A3.1. Well, this cross-reference applies. Now I'm in 2G2.1. So you just keep cross-referencing until you get to ultimately what's the highest guideline calculation in most of those instances.
So you just keep applying the guidelines until you land in the place where you don't get another instruction.
That is correct.
All right, good to know. So what else do we deal with? We have a cross-reference in 2B1.1 at C3 that we get a fair number of questions about. Can you talk to us a little bit about what's going on there?
I think you're being generous when you say we get a fair number of questions. We get a ton of questions. This is one of those cross-references. So in 2B1.1 C3, we have a cross-reference that applies. It basically says if the subsections above don't apply and the conduct set forth in the count of conviction establishes an offense specifically covered by another guideline, then you would apply that guideline. I think it's better to kind of walk through an example, because inevitably what happens, we get a call and somebody pled guilty to the 18 USC 1001. It's a false statement. Somebody lied to the ATF, FBI, Secret Service. Maybe they lied about who the gun belonged to when in fact it would belong to the boyfriend or their girlfriend. And so they get charged with those 1001 offense. And so the question usually is, well, can I then just use the 2K2.1 guideline? And this is very narrowly applied. I think it's very important that that conduct has to be set forth in the count of conviction. And it's very rare that it does actually meet that criteria. It doesn't meet the elements of another offense per se.
So let me try to just summarize what I think you're saying. So that cross-reference at C3 addresses situations where somebody's charged with a false statements type offense, and those fall under a variety of statutes. But if someone is charged with a false statement, then it says if the conduct set forth in the count of conviction establishes an offense covered by another guideline, go to that guideline. But right. What that means is that the charging document really has to spell out that other offense. And usually when we talk to people and we talk through what their count of conviction says, it really doesn't spell out the other offense. It just says generally, you know, so-and-so made false statements with respect to the purchase of a firearm. It doesn't right. fully spell out the elements of another offense that would take you to the firearm guideline at 2K2.1.
That's very true. And I honestly, in the last 10 years or so, I've been doing guideline calculations. I think I've come across maybe one or two cases where this actually applied. It's just really, really rare for that offense of conviction to really establish another offense. It's just rare, I guess, that you would actually see that.
But the key, again, we talk about this in other guideline applications. When we say offense of conviction, we're going back to that charged count, that count in the indictment information, whatever the charging document is. It's not a relevant conduct analysis of, hey, what really happened here? It's what does the language of that count of conviction, the offense of conviction, say? So that's an important piece to that puzzle.
Very true.
So one other thing that I think we ought to mention is there are many times in guideline application where we make a reference to another section of a guideline, but it's not a full cross-reference. We talked earlier about a cross-reference means you're leaving here, you're starting over somewhere else and applying that guideline in its entirety. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we'll say, you know, go to the loss table over here or apply something else and come back. Can you kind of clarify for us what some of those different situations would be so people can make sure they're understanding those rules?
Right. And that's another good question we get on a pretty regular basis, too. Like in 1B1.5 under subsection B2, sometimes we have a very particular instruction that says only use this table for this particular subsection in the guideline calculation itself. So for instance, in 2D1.10 under A1, it says 3 plus the offense level from the drug quantity table in 2D1.1. We're only looking at the drug quantity table in 2D1.1. However, if you're in some other guidelines, it might just say 2 plus the offense level. And when we define offense level really does mean the offense level, the base offense level, the specific offense characteristics, the cross-references and special instructions. So you have to pay close attention to what we're actually saying in that guideline itself.
The other one that jumps out at me is money laundering at 2S1.1, where if you know the source of the laundered funds, say that's from drug trafficking or a fraud, you would go back to those guidelines, do a calculation there, but you still come back to the money laundering guideline at 2S1.1 and continue to work through that guideline. So you make a good point, Peter, that it's super important to make sure you're very carefully reading exactly what we're talking about when we're referencing another guideline. Is it in whole or in part or a section or a table? So definitely some confusing stuff. And as we say every time when we talk about these issues, reach out to us on the helpline, submit a form through our website at ussc.gov, fill out the information about what question you have, and we'll help you walk through these difficult applications. Is there anything else, Pete, that we wanted to cover that I haven't touched on?
Maybe just one thing, because I think oftentimes, like when people cross-reference, they just assume that when they cross-reference from one guideline to the other, that they, you know, they're going there if the resulting offense level is greater. There are some cross-references that simply say, when you, with this conduct meets a certain statutory definition, apply a particular guideline. We have this like in some of the 2A guidelines where you'll say, it'll say to apply 2A 3.1, period. So you don't get to choose. You don't get, well, the other guidelines higher, which one do I use? If we tell you that you have one option, 2A 3.1, that is the option available to you. You don't get to choose the higher of the two. So just be cognizant of the language changes, and it might vary from one guideline to another.
That's a really good point, Peter. I know for me, because most of the cross-reference that I have used say, if the resulting offense level is greater, that's where my mind goes. I just assume I'm only cross-referencing if the result is greater. So I now know to pay really close attention to the language in the cross-reference. Is it if the offense is greater, or if it just says, if it involves this, go here. So again, super important to read exactly what the instructions are going to say, because they are not always the same.
They are not. That's why we have a helpline. So submit a question. Give us a
back
call.
To the helpline.
We can walk through the issue together by all means.
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you very much for joining us today and listening to us talk about cross-references. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify to stay up to date. If you've got a question for the helpline or want to access any of the resources discussed in this episode, you can find us at ussc.gov. Please be advised that the information provided by Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and is not binding upon the Commission, Court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.